1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Hi, welcome to the program. And on today's show, Josh Plenois is going to be in. He's going to talk NBA. There's been several transactions. We didn't talk to Josh last week because of 4th of July week, so a few transactions we want to go over. Plus, when we last spoke with Josh, there was that long jam of guards for the Chicago Bulls, including Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon. But Rajon Rondo, Cannon, released. It's now Cameron Payne. We're going to talk about that. Sort of a rocky start in the summer league for Cam. We'll explore that with Josh as well. It's all coming up on today's show, which will be coming your way in just a bit. But before we do, I want to get you caught up with a few things. Louisville baseball coach Dan McDonald has been named the National Coach of the Year by Baseball America. McDonald guided the Louisville Cardinals to a 53-12 record and a berth in the College World Series in Omaha. Louisville also had three players selected in the first round of the MLB draft and seven players overall chosen this year. Tonight, it's the All-Star Game. Pitcher Carlos Martinez and catcher Yadier Molina will represent the St. Louis Cardinals at the All-Star Game in Miami this evening. It's the second All-Star appearance for Martinez, the eighth for Molina. St. Louis, of course, off until they open the second half of the season Friday in Pittsburgh. Today is day two of SEC Media Days for football in Hoover, Alabama. Coaches and players from Florida, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State will speak today. Tomorrow, Kentucky and Alabama will be among those to take center stage. We have some other football news as two Kentucky, two Louisville, and two WKU football players were named to watch lists yesterday. UK linebacker Jordan Jones named to the Chuck Bednarik Award watch list, and UK running back Benny Snell named to the Maxwell Award watch list. Previous one, the Defensive Player of the Year. Second one, the Offensive Player of the Year nationally. Jones led the SEC and ranked 16th nationally in solo tackles per game last season with 5.7 per game, and Snell set six UK freshman records, including most rushing yards by a freshman with 1,091 and most rushing touchdowns by a freshman with 13. Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson also selected to the Maxwell watch list, and cornerback Jair Alexander of Louisville named to the Bednarik Award watch list. Jackson became the school's first Maxwell Award winner last year. He accounted for over 5,000 yards of total offense and 51 touchdowns. Alexander was a second-team All-ACC performer after leading the team with five interceptions in 2016. Western Kentucky's Mike White and Marcus Ward named the watch list as well. White on the Maxwell list after leading the Hilltoppers to a second consecutive Conference USA championship last year. He threw for 4,363 yards, and Ward's 139 career tackles, the most among returning defensive players, and he made the Bednarik watch list. The American Athletic Conference men's basketball tournament coming back in 2019 to the FedEx Forum in Memphis. Memphis actually hosted the initial AAC tournament in 2014, but recently that's alternated between Orlando and Hartford. The 2019 tournament runs March 14th through the 17th, with the winner, of course, getting an automatic NCAA tournament bid. The Memphis Grizzlies playing the Jazz in a summer league game today at the Thomas and Mack Center in Vegas. The Grizzlies beat the Kings and the Wizards in their first two games. Wayne Seldon's been hot. He's averaged 24.5 points per game in the first two for the Grizzlies. The All-Star game tonight, we told you about that on Wednesday night. It is the AAA All-Star game in Tacoma, Washington. Memphis Redbirds catcher Carson Kelly and pitchers Ryan Sheriff and Luke Weaver will participate. 22-year-old Kelly participated in the Texas League and Midwest League All-Star Games in previous years. He also played in the 2016 Futures Game. Louisville Bats outfielder Jesse Winkler will also be in the game tomorrow night. He is fourth in the International League with a .305 batting average and a .386 slugging percentage. And Nashville Sounds right-handers Paul Blackburn and Chris Smith and infielder Renato Nunez will participate in the All-Star game as well. It's Blackburn's third minor league All-Star game. The 36-year-old Smith, 4-3 with a .316 earned run average with Nashville. He made one start this season for Oakland, and that's all coming up. Pretty interesting home run derby last night. Aaron Judge was phenomenal. Enjoyed watching that. Man, that dude is a mountain of a man, and the dude really hits some amazing home runs. But we're going to switch our attention to the NBA. We're going to talk with Josh Planos right after this. Join us in August as Racer Hoopalooza honors Murray State basketball legend Popeye Jones, who was part of four OVC championship teams and played in three NCAA tournaments. Meet and visit with current coaches and players and former Racer greats and honor Popeye Jones at Racer Hoopalooza, presented by CFSB. August 4th is the reception and dinner at the CFSB Center, and August 5th is the golf scramble at Miller Memorial. Reserve your seat for Racer Hoopalooza by calling 270-809-3000. That's 270-809-3000 for Racer Hoopalooza. Welcome back to the program. Last week, of course, we were off for much of the week for 4th of July, but we're back at it this week, and a lot to talk about in terms of the NBA. We're bringing in Josh Planos. He is our NBA resident expert. And Josh, a lot of transactions, and the one that probably opened a lot of eyes was the acquisition for Oklahoma City of Paul George, at least the big one since the last time we talked. That was a huge one. And what do you think that's going to do for Oklahoma City?
Well, if nothing else, it might give Russell Westbrook another reason to sign a supermax extension. He's going to have a big decision to make as far as whether or not he's going to be willing to play the rest of his career. Essentially in Oklahoma City, he's got a big, contract year coming up. And this is a great opportunity for him to play alongside somebody who is incredibly talented on both ends of the floor. I think it vaults Oklahoma City into that top five, maybe even top four range in the Western Conference, as opposed to last season when they kind of, as soon as they got in, I don't know anybody who was picking them to be able to match up with Houston, and now you can safely say that they probably could. So, that's a huge step up, a huge risk in terms of, what they're giving up for Paul George, who's, made his intentions clear that he's trying to make it out to Los Angeles after this year to sign a big deal with his hometown team. But, if nothing else, the Thunder are going to be an exciting team to watch this season, and now they've got a lockdown perimeter defender that's, as good as any two-way player in the game.
Also, a signing by the Miami Heat is they had Kelly Olynyk. They also waived Chris Bosh. How will that move help them?
Well, I mean, the Chris Bosh news just kind of seems to be, maybe the final seal on what was actually, a terrific career there in Miami. I think a lot of people were willing to look past, what he brought to the table. And how much, he deferred the ball to LeBron and Dwayne when they met up. Chris Bosh was an incredible player. I mean, he was probably a top 10 player in terms of individual statistics when he was playing in Toronto, and yet he put all of that on the back burner to join something that was bigger than himself. And, unfortunately, these health complications are so obviously so difficult to work through. Clearly, there are some doctors telling him that he shouldn't be playing basketball anymore, and some that, are telling him to give it another shot. And that's got to be really tough to take as someone who, isn't ready to really hang it up. But, he's got a decision to make, and, I'm sure he's going to have an incredible broadcast career when, his athletic career is all said and done. We saw a little bit of it last season. But, a nice touch, too, for Miami to say that they're going to retire his jersey. Yes. I think that's a really professional move on the part of Pat Riley and company. And then as far as Kelly Olynyk, we saw what he was capable of. I think it was a little bit of an outlier what he did in the Eastern Conference semifinals last season. But 4 years and $50 million, that's not bad return on investment for Miami. So they got their big who can stretch the floor. And we'll see if he can kind of, put together a successful season for him.
Also, the Rockets extending James Harden. Really no surprise there, was it?
No. And I think some of it is posturing as well. And also just, confidence boost as far as, making sure that he's aware that, all these people are getting these, signature paydays. And Steph Curry, signs the biggest deal in the league. But here's, a boatload of money that'll make you, I think SportsCenter put up the graphic that, his career earnings, the $228 million extension is a larger sum than the career earnings of every single player in the NBA except Dirk Nowitzki, who I think had something like 230 or 240. $1 million and has played, you know, 20-something, you know, seasons in the NBA. So just kind of an incredible sum of money, but that's what these players command nowadays, and that's what the salary cap allows them to command. So, you know, a ton of money, but I don't know anybody who would say it wasn't, you know, justifiable.
Josh, are there any other transactions or signings that made you either scratch your head or go, oh, that's a good one, it'll help?
Well, I think the Chris Paul move is pretty significant. You know, the reports being that he told the Clippers that he wanted to go to Houston and, you know, allowed them to have an opportunity to send him there as opposed to just walking and, you know, them being left with nothing, which is a professional move on both parts. As someone who has followed the Chicago Bulls his whole life, I can tell you that when Pau Gasol just essentially, you know, walked out on the organization for nothing, you know, that was really, you know, that was really crippling for Chicago moving forward. So Chris Paul, I think, really helped out the Clippers in that sense by telling him, you know, this is what's going to happen. You can get something back for me. And they certainly did that. I mean, to be able to pull in, you know, players like Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Daron Hillard, DeAndre Liggins, a protected first-round pick, cash considerations. I mean, that is a boatload, as far as I'm concerned, for a single player. But, you know, that'll be interesting to see how he pairs with James Harden. Obviously, he's a ball-dominant point guard, so it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress because James Harden just learned how to play point guard last season and, you know, spent the whole league, or the whole season, rather, with the ball in his hands. So you've got two players who are kind of accustomed to that dynamic who are, you know, someone's going to need to have to play off the ball. But, you know, these are two of the best three, you know, ball-dominant players in the league, in my opinion. So, you know, putting them on the same team, if nothing else, you know, just kind of goes to show that this is the league's turned into an arms race, and Houston's trying to, you know, amass as much talent as it possibly can get.
The West ought to be interesting, and that is a major understatement. I know the last time that we spoke, we didn't really know what the Bulls were going to do with all the point guards. Well, they certainly made decisions. They cut Isaiah Cannon. They cut Rajon Rondo. Sort of handed the keys, at least for the moment, to Cameron Payne. And in summer league play, his first game was awful, and yesterday wasn't much better. He did have 12 points, but one assist, four turnovers. How do you view that, and is that someone that can handle this? Because right now it's not looking good.
It's not a great situation to be in, if I'm being perfectly honest, for Cameron Payne. I mean, you've just kind of watched you know, yourself get traded for Doug McDermott, you know, last season, and then you see what Chicago does on draft night and, you know, moving to acquire Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was probably the signature piece of that deal. From the Bulls' perspective, I mean, yeah, they're giving up Jimmy Butler, but and they're getting, you know, some quality players in return. But Chris Dunn is someone that the Bulls have been high on for, you know, 2 years now. They really wanted to draft him. There are a lot of Bulls fans who wanted them to draft him, and he was abysmal last season, to be frank. And now, you know, you're bringing him into the fold. And I'm not really sure what kind of message that sends to Cameron Payne. I mean, I think the assumption, at least tacitly, was that he was going to be the starter this season. But then you bring in Chris Dunn, and now, you know, it seems like you're maybe setting himself up for a backup role. So probably a, you know, a really tough position for him to be in. You know, Jerian Grant's kind of a holdover who's going to also be on the roster this season and competing for point guard minutes. So, you know, Hoiberg has said throughout that, you know, it's an open competition, and whoever the best player is, the player that they feel like is best suited to the team's needs is going to get, you know, the starting go. But, yeah, not a great situation to be in. And as far as his performance, you're right. I mean, he really was terrible in the opener. You know, that he's still playing summer league, I think, really speaks to how unsure the Bulls front office is regarding his talents. Clearly he's very talented, but as soon as he came in last season, I mean, there were some rumblings that there were some injuries, but I think a lot of the reason why he wasn't playing was because Chicago management did not feel like he was in good enough condition to be out there on the floor, which is something you never want to hear and never want to see. So hopefully he can, you know, put together a strong showing in summer league and kind of, you know, make his claim for minutes, but for him, you know, I just feel like that's a really tough environment to be in right now. And, you know, you kind of just saw what'll happen if you don't perform. But I thought Isaiah Cannon, you know, was tremendous last season, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, you can only have so many point guards on the team. So his work's cut out for him. And we'll see if he can, you know, put together some better performances.
And the door's open for the minutes, at least here in the summer league, at least temporarily, because Dunn, he's out for at least a little bit with personal issues. So it's all basically Cameron Payne to get the minutes. And here's, you know, in summer league, he's got to really impress to me to earn those minutes. If he doesn't, I'm really not sure what's going to happen. But he, you know, you can't go forward with an NBA point guard playing like he's played here in the first couple of games. And who knows, this might be an outlier. The next time we talk, we may be talking about how great he played for the week, but the spotlight's certainly on him. And I've been reading the tweets from the Bulls fans, and right now they're not really happy with what they're seeing, although we do have a long way to go before the season gets here.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I think that he's a much better shooter than Chris Dunn. I think that was the big knock on Dunn last season was, everybody knew Dunn was going to be a pretty solid defensive player, and he's probably always going to be a little bit better of a defensive player than Payne is. But Payne really, you know, can bring the show to the offensive side of the floor, and he's really got to put that on display because, you know, if he is working on his three-point shot as much as he says he is, then, you know, the Bulls team needs to see it. And as soon as, you know, he starts knocking down threes, they're going to give him you know, that much more reason to be out there because Chicago desperately needs three-point shooters, especially in a league that is trending toward more and more three-point attempts. So if he can, you know, put on a good showing in summer league, I think that would really go a long way. I also am hesitant to take anything 100% of the way as far as, you know, summer league performances are concerned. The Bulls won summer league last season, for instance, and went on to not have such a successful season. Malcolm Brogdon was abysmal in summer league last year and then went on to win Rookie of the Year. So, you know, there are a lot of inconsistencies there as far as the numbers translating. But, you know, for Cameron Payne's purposes, putting on a good show in summer league should be, you know, his number one objective right now.
All right, Josh, I really appreciate the visit. As usual, good stuff, and look forward to chatting with you next week. All right.
Thanks for having me.
All right, be sure to join us on Wednesday's show. It will be a special guest, Lily Lowe, former Callaway County standout athlete, state champion in the high jump. She is going to join me. She's now at the University of Hawaii, but she's in Murray with family for a few weeks. We're going to chat with Lily. Also, Ed Marlowe will be along. It's all coming up on Wednesday's Neil Bradley Show. Catch it at 1340WNBS.com.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.